The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Those who are old-timers and those who are new to IMC, just wondering, how many people are here tonight for the first time at IMC? A show of hands, a few people. Yeah, welcome, welcome, welcome. A few people, great, lovely, wonderful. Gil always likes to say that, and I repeat what he says in that IMC belongs to the people who come and practice here. So whether it's your first time or whether you're an old timer, IMC belongs to you because you're here. So I wanted to start tonight's reflections actually with a couple of lines from a song, beginning of a song by Prince, who just passed away. This is unusual for a Dharma talk, but hey. So I was a teenager when he was producing all the hits, and I remember his song, Let's Go Crazy. And I always heard the beginning of it sound like a sermon, and there's an organ. And I never quite knew what the words were until last week I saw my friends actually have the first few lines of the song on Facebook. And I thought, wow, that's pretty profound. So the first few lines are, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life." I think that's pretty good. We're gathered here today to get through this thing called life. It feels pretty apt for our gathering. Though maybe I wouldn't use the word getting through this life. And then he suggests, let's go crazy, let's get nuts. So instead I suggest, let's get wise. That's our alternative here at IMC. So with that, I wanted to invite you actually for a guided reflection that will reveal to you what the topic for the talk is tonight. And the topic for the night, it will reveal itself as you would do the reflection with me. Is that okay? Can we do a guided reflection together? So I invite you to close your eyes as you're sitting in your meditation posture, or get into your meditation posture if you're not in it. Settle in. It'll be a few minutes. So settle in. Settling into the body. Settling in with the breath. Letting your body be soft, relaxed. Letting go, embodying, arriving in this moment, arriving right here, right now. Now I invite you to bring to mind someone who's been kind to you in some way, someone who supported you. Maybe they've been a benefactor and been a supporter in your life, maybe a teacher, maybe a coach, a mentor, or maybe it's just a random act of kindness that you're remembering right now, just a one-off, maybe a random stranger. I invite you to bring to mind that person and the act of kindness. How this being has been kind to you, supported you. Flesh it out in your mind. Really bring it alive. What happened? What they did? And how you felt? And check in with your body. What's coming up in your body? How is it feeling? What's coming up in your mind right now with this reflection? After you've checked this out, let this one go. And for this next reflection, I invite you to bring to mind the various factors, people, causes and conditions that have enabled you to be right here in this moment, right here, right now, at IMC, sitting here listening. Maybe there was a car that you drove here, or maybe you got a ride with someone, thinking about that car. That there were roads that this car could drive on. Or people who created that road, designed the road, designed the car, manufactured the car. There's also people who've supported you today for you to be able to be here right now and not somewhere else taking care of something else. Then bringing to mind all the people who've supported those people. And if we think about the factors, about the car, about the way that you got here, about the road, about the gas, about the food you ate to enable you to be here and not be falling over. The food that you ate that supported you to have the strength to be here right now. The farmers that have created that food, their families who supported them. The whole infrastructure of everything that has gone into place. So many things, so many people. That have enabled you to be here right now in this moment, breathing, surviving, sitting, being here so much. People you know, people you don't know. People in the past and in the present. So many causes and conditions. All the events in your life that have led you here. Some fortuitous events, some challenging. Everything that has led you here. So let yourself bring to mind, perhaps without overwhelm, even though that could happen too when you try to open up to so many causes and conditions, so many connections in this world that we're often not acknowledging, that have supported your being here. See what comes up for you. Maybe it's a sense of awe, amazement at the interdependence. Maybe it's something else, whatever it is. Now let that reflection go. And for the last and third reflection, this one is optional. You don't have to do it. And if you decide not to, just come back to your breath. For those who want to do it, bring to mind something that at first was very challenging, perhaps in your life, unpleasant or difficult. It seemed like the sky was falling down. And then perhaps it opened up, this difficulty. And later, looking back, turning back, you could see how this difficulty opened you up, maybe cracked you open to things you would not have been open to. was an opportunity in retrospect. Opened you to developing capabilities that beforehand seemed out of reach. And see what comes up for you when this reflection. Checking into your body and mind, seeing what comes up, what's happening right now, what's arising in this moment. Whatever it is, embracing. Whatever is arising. So letting that go. And whenever you're ready, opening your eyes and coming back to the room. So the topic for the reflection for tonight is gratitude. Often when we bring up things that people who have been kind to us, causes and conditions that have supported us, it brings up a sense of gratitude. So what I'd like to do in the remaining time is to define gratitude. What is it? Why should we care about it? Well, actually, what is it in this Buddhist context? Why should we care about it? And why should we care about it, I'll bring in some research, some science behind it, which is what I usually do because I'm a scientist in my other life. So sorry, it's a habit. I'll just bring it in. And then somehow. So gratitude, thankfulness, gratefulness, appreciation. The font of all knowledge, Wikipedia, defines it as a feeling or attitude in acknowledgement of a benefit that one has received or will receive. I actually like a better definition, which is an affirmation of goodness. An affirmation of goodness. Gratitude is a pillar of many religions. So Buddhism doesn't have hegemony over gratitude. It's a major pillar in not just Buddhism, but in Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and others. The difference, however, is that in theistic religions, gratitude is expressed towards a being, external being, towards God. Whereas in Buddhism, there is no sense of this external, there's not a God that one is expressing gratitude and appreciation to. And in that way, actually, science is similar in definition of gratitude, in the way gratitude is studied to Buddhism. So gratitude in science, I'll read in a moment a quote from Robert Emmons, who's a psychologist at the University of California at UC Davis and the author of Thanks, How Practicing Gratitude Can Make You Happier. And this is from an Atlantic article that showed up November 26, 2014, and the title of it is Gratitude Without God. So he says, we all begin life dependent on others, and most of us end life dependent on others. If we are lucky, in between we have roughly 60 years or so of unacknowledged dependency. I like that. Unacknowledged dependency. We don't acknowledge our dependency, but we definitely have unacknowledged dependency. When you start thinking about all the causes and conditions that brought you here today, like I brought myself here. Well, really? Who designed that car? Did you design that car? Did you create that car? Did you go and mine that gasoline that fueled the car? We have so much dependency on each other. We don't even know where to begin to think about our dependency. Did you farm the food you ate today? No. did you make the laws that made the place you live safe so that you could come here, or the traffic law so that you didn't get into a collision? I mean, there's so much we're dependent on. It's crazy if you start to really realize it. So back to the quote. I got excited about unacknowledged dependency. I like that word. I like that phrase. Unacknowledged dependency. Anyway, the human condition is such that throughout life, not just at the beginning and end, we are profoundly dependent on one another. Gratitude is the truest approach to life. We did not create or fashion ourselves. We did not birth ourselves. Life is about giving, receiving, and repaying. I love that. Life is about giving, receiving, and repaying. Especially in the West, I think there is too much of the idea of independence, that we are independent. And we take so much pride in being independent and not really acknowledge this process that we're in, this mystery of giving, receiving, repaying all of these debts that we keep receiving from the universe every moment that we're alive, every moment we're receiving oxygen from the universe. It's a gift. What if you lived in a place that was completely polluted and you couldn't even breathe? Then we can acknowledge and really appreciate that even breathing this relatively clean air is such a gift. So acknowledging all these gifts that are so around us, our minds tend to focus on what is not going right. Have you noticed? Does anybody else's mind? Because mine definitely does that. My mind focuses on everything that is going wrong, everything that I did wrong, other people did wrong, just things that are not going right. And there's so much unacknowledged. What is going right? What is the gift of this life? Every second, every moment. Our minds don't go there because we don't take our minds there. Our minds tend to have a tendency for negativity. We're biologically wired for negativity. That's bad news. It just is. I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense too, because if our ancestors on the savannah, if they weren't hypersensitive to negativity, they wouldn't live long enough to be our ancestors. Right, if they were not hypersensitive to the tiger or to the whatever negativity was in the surrounding, they wouldn't live long enough to pass on their genes. So guess who passed on their genes for many, many thousands of years? The hypersensitive, hypervigilant, those who are really sensitive to negativity. You know, positivity, a berry, you know, food. If you don't eat food today, it's okay. You'll still live to eat it tomorrow, right? But negativity, if you don't catch the tiger, you wouldn't live long enough to eat the berry. So it only makes sense that all those who survived to pass on their genes were the hypervigilant to negativity. And that's that's what we have. That's what has been passed down to through our genes. But knowing that, then we don't, for me actually, that's liberating, because I don't feel like I'm doing it wrong. There's something wrong with me. I feel like, oh, this is the human condition. I can guess everybody else's mind is more sensitive to negativity than mine, and I'm probably right. And it's not all lost, because with training, with cultivation, we can actually bring our mind, bringing balance to appreciate what is good, what is going right, all the gifts that are in our environment, in our lives, this mystery that is life. Robert Emmons also says, basically he's saying that humans are born, survive off the generosity of others and the environment, and then die. And gratitude naturally is the organizing principle of life. And in that way, it makes sense. It makes sense. So why gratitude? And why has science taken a great interest in gratitude? It's actually very interesting if you check the various studies. There are books written and lots of papers on the science of gratitude. So not only is it important in various religions and practices, but so science has taken interest in it, studying it both the short-term experience, the emotion of gratitude, which is the state gratitude, when you're just grateful for something, like it's a one-off. And then the what's called the trait gratitude, which is people who are frequently expressing gratitude for various things in life. So that's trait gratitude and the relationship between these two. And especially given the neural plasticity that we know that our brain is quite plastic, what we tend to do becomes the inclination of our mind. So if you have more, if you cultivate more state gratitude, if you tend to be more, if you bring about gratitude during your day, during your life, it can become potentially a trait gratitude that you become a more grateful person. So why is that potentially a good thing? Well, it turns out that besides the other things I will get to in a moment, as a spiritual practice, the benefits, the science, the benefits are that it's actually good for you. It's people who are more grateful, they tend to have increased satisfaction with life. They tend to be happier, more optimistic, have more hope, more positive emotions, less anxiety and depression. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And it seems pretty simple, just bringing it to mind. There are a couple of interesting studies. One seminal study that many of you might already be familiar with is one that Robert Emmons, this pioneering research, did. Was he instructed people to keep a gratitude journal, which was five things that they felt grateful for. Has anyone done that here? How many people have done that exercise? A bunch of people have done that. Yeah, great. I've done that too. It's actually pretty. It's pretty radical. It's really interesting. Basically, what he found, there were three series of things that he found. So by now, thousands of subjects have done this exercise. Basically, just at the end of the day, you write five things that you're grateful for. And you either write it for yourself, or even a better version of it is you can have a gratitude buddy. So you send an email to them what you're grateful for, and then send it to you. And there are variations on this where the first week, I think you do it every day, and then later you do it just a couple of times a week so that you don't become too, your mind doesn't become too used to it, or it doesn't feel too forced. But anyway, I have done this, and it's pretty amazing because your mind, then after you start doing this, then your mind starts seeing things that you're grateful for all through the day. It just becomes tuned to seeing it everywhere. You become grateful for everything. And every hit of things that you're grateful for just lift your heart, lift your spirit. Like happiness hit. It's pretty amazing. It works amazingly well. So that's my report anecdotally. But what he has found, and he's had subjects ranging in age from 80 years old to 80 years old, and they did it for just 3 weeks. And they found three series of effects, some physical, psychological, and social. Physical changes makes your immune system stronger, less bothered by aches and pains, lowers blood pressure. People tend to exercise more and take better care of themselves, which is actually interesting how gratitude can make you exercise more. I'm not quite sure how that relates, but apparently it does. Maybe you can do it and send me email. Let me know if that works for you that way too. This is an interesting one. They tend to sleep longer and feel more refreshed upon waking up. And Emin says, if you want to sleep more soundly, count your blessings, not sheep. I like that. Count your blessings. Try that tonight. Instead of counting sheep, count your blessings at night tonight when you're going to sleep, and see how that... I've done that too also, actually. Just feeling, just in bed, like thinking about things I'm grateful for, and just I feel happy and then drift to sleep. Psychological effects. Higher levels of positive emotions. More alert, alive, and awake. More joy and pleasure. More optimism and happiness, sense of meaning of life, higher long-term satisfaction with life, And also, they even try this gratitude in a psychiatric ward with people who had severe depression and suicidal ideation, which is, you know, going really, really to the end to see if that population will, if it will affect them. And turns out that actually it was significant. The group that was instructed to do gratitude practice versus not. Body image issues, less anxiety and depression. And then the other group of goodies, social. So he found that gratitude actually makes you a nicer person. What they did in the lab was they set it up such that subjects came to the lab and they were supposed to do a task on the laptop. The laptop broke down. And then somebody else, you know, someone from the experiment, but, you know, the subject didn't know it. So they came and fixed the laptop. And the subject was so grateful. Then they were kind to other people in the lab because they felt gratitude that somebody has fixed their laptop. So sense of gratitude makes you kinder, makes you nicer to other people, makes you more helpful, more generous, more compassionate, more forgiving. More forgiving. I like that too. More forgiving. Try that actually. If you're upset with someone, if you're angry with someone, think. I know it's usually hard to go there because the mind doesn't want to go to the kindness that person might have at some point in their life done for you. The mind just doesn't want to go there if you're angry at someone at some point. But do try it. Think of something you're grateful for that person. And see how that just changes, that cracks your heart open. It changes the gratitude, the sense of gratitude for that person. It just kind of melts away that one-sided anger. And they're not all bad all of a sudden. They're not this evil person in your mind. They become more even. They become, and then see how that changes. Gratitude practice also has effect on people feeling less lonely and isolated. So it really increases a feeling of social connection, which is, I think, particularly important, again, in our society. That there's so much feeling of loneliness and isolation that we experience. In intimate relationships, it strengthens the bonds. People tend to have kinder behavior towards their friends, towards their romantic partners. So, a couple of things. One is how. One other practice, which actually, as I was doing the research for this talk, I thought this one sounds so interesting, and I want to try this also. I've never done this one before. This one is by Martin Seligman. And his suggestion is to write, this practice involves writing for 5 to 10 minutes at the end of the day, just 3 things that went well that day, whether they were large or small, and also describing why you think they happened. So 3 things that went well in your day and why you think that happened. And apparently completing this exercise every day for just 1 week led to increased happiness that persisted for 6 months. That's pretty amazing. I'm going to start doing this tonight. I have not done this one before. So if anyone wants to join me, I think it's pretty cool though. I mean, when you do these experiments on yourself and you see your state of mind changing, like 5 to 10 minutes per night, just for 1 week, and then 6 months later it changes, you're still happier? Like, if it was a pill, everyone here would just, give me the pill. It's easy. I'll take it for a week. But if it's like 5 or 10 minutes doing something, well, I don't know. Okay, who wants to try it tonight with me? No. I don't have the pill, man. I don't have the pill. Sending you home with the exercise is as good as it gets. Great. I want to show of hands one more time. I want to get a commitment. All right. We're all doing it tonight. Awesome. Great. What's that? What are we doing? Did you say? What are we doing? What was that? But what are we doing? Okay, I'll repeat it one more time, what it is you're doing. Okay, so you're spending, starting tonight, for 1 week, you're spending 5 to 10 minutes at the end of the day writing in detail about 3 things that went well today and why you think they happened. Okay, so again, 5 to 10 minutes at the end of the day, writing in detail about 3 things that went well today, large or small, and also describing why you think they happened. Okay, clear? Anybody else unclear about the assignment? We're committed. I saw a show of hands. Okay, great. And then we do it for 1 week, and then we check in 6 months. This is our totally unscientific experiment right here, right now.
I just have a question about this.
Yeah.
Why you think that happened?
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like pretty, broad. It could be like why it went well, why you happened to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything. Apparently, it's why you think that they happened. It's pretty open. I think it's an invitation to not just write it down like this happened, but actually really explore it and really see some causality, some causes and conditions. I think that's what it's inviting you to do. I think that's the logic behind it. But I have to admit, I haven't read the paper, so I don't know. I admit that. Anyway, So another approach I want to share with you actually in this practice is what's called mental subtraction. So mental subtraction, in the words of Joni Mitchell, is you don't know what you've got till it's gone. So what this practice is you imagine what your life would be like if you didn't have something that you have, that you're really grateful for, something that... actually, let's do it together right here, right now. Okay, you're sitting. Okay, imagine right now that your leg is in a big cast. You've broken your leg. And when you get up at the end of this talk, you have to figure out, okay, how to get up, how to get my crutches, how to stand up without falling over, how to walk out, how to get into my car, or how to hobble home, how to get into my apartment, how to go up the stairs. Just like go through that for a moment. Like, what would it be like if you had a cast on, a broken leg and a big cast on right now? What do you have to go through in order to maneuver through people? Right? Okay. Oof, you don't have a broken leg. You don't have a cast on. You can just get up at the end of this sit and walk out the door. Wow. It feels nice, doesn't it? Just I'm appreciating my legs right now, which I didn't 2 minutes ago. So that's mental subtraction. And we can particularly do that. A corollary of that is doing mental subtraction for relationships, for people in your life. What if they were not in your life? What if you had never met them? Even if they're not in your life anymore, what if they never came into your life? What would your life be like? And that's quite profound. That can be quite profound. Another strategy I want to share with you is savoring, which can come about if you're present and mindful, which is the bread and butter of the practice we do here, mindfulness. So by being actually mindful of something good that is happening in your life can help with hedonic adaptation. Hedonic adaptation is when you kind of get used to something that's good in your life and you don't appreciate it anymore. It's like, yeah, you just take it for granted. And last week I was teaching here and someone mentioned, I want to give credit to Gail, I think Gail is here tonight, instead of having a savings account, having a savorings account, like savoring things that are coming up in your mind. So here's a quote from the author G.K. Chesterton. You say grace before meals. All right. But I say grace before the concert and the opera and grace before the play and pantomime and grace before I open a book and grace before sketching, painting, swimming, fencing, boxing, walking, playing, dancing, and grace before I dip the pen in the ink. So it's savoring, it's saying thanks, it's for whatever is arising. Einstein says there are only two ways to live. One is as if nothing is a miracle, and the other is as if everything is a miracle. What if you said grace, you said thanks, you felt gratitude for everything that happened, and saw the miracle, saw the mystery in this life, in this being human, as beautiful and as horrendous sometimes it can be, but being grateful for it all, the entire enchilada. I wanted to share a little story from Gill's book, A Monastery Within, which is one of my favorites, and it is called A Monastic Alternative. And this is a good thing to contemplate as we end the evening together. The Monastic Alternative. As a teenager, she often visited the monastery. She was deeply attracted to the monastic life. The Buddhist path to liberation was what had the most meaning for her. When she became an adult, she planned on joining the monastic order. However, when she turned 21, her older sister and her sister's husband died in an accident, and she became the foster parent of their two young children. In addition, her own parents had become quite old and needed her help. As the only income earner in the family, she had to work long hours every day. She loved to meditate, but with all the work and caregiving she had to do, she had no time for it. Since she was not able to fulfill her aspirations for following the monastic path, she went to the abbess of the monastery and asked how she could follow the path with the life she had to live. The abbess said that if she couldn't meditate, then the best alternative is to be grateful for everything. Gratitude for everything. Gratitude for everything. Even when it's what is hard, what is not easy in the moment. Gratitude for everything. From a particular perspective, from the perspective of the awakened heart, awakened mind, everything is perfect as it is, and there's gratitude for everything in that mindset. And by us invoking gratitude for what we can, it's more likely for us, for our minds, to fall in that orbit of seeing grace, seeing beauty, seeing gratitude in everything. And it's not a stance of you should be grateful. Gratitude should not be forced. It's not that you should be grateful. It's not that. It's not that at all. In fact, that can kill gratitude. That can be a forced practice. But it's inviting. Can I be grateful for this? Can I be grateful for this too? Can I be grateful for this too? And a lot of times in our lives, there are many things that are good and we're grateful for. There are many things that aren't, at least at first. Maybe they open us up. Maybe they crack us open in ways that we wouldn't have been opened up if it wasn't for that difficulty. So many of you know that I have a chronic illness and I have chronic Lyme disease. And years ago, Well, one thing to say is I wouldn't wish it on anyone. It's a really, really tough condition. And it has pushed me to my edge in so many ways. So much pain, so much difficulty. And years ago when I was in the midst of dealing with it, and I still am in many ways, I wrote a letter, a thank you letter, to the tick that bit me. Because if it hadn't been for that tick, I wouldn't have been pushed to my edge in ways that I didn't want to be pushed. I didn't want to let go. There's so much, so many gifts that have come out of this illness that I'm grateful for. I wouldn't have found this path, this way of living, this different way of this different way of being in the world if it wasn't for that little tick. So I'm grateful for the tick. I'm not grateful for all the pain, but there is something I'm hugely grateful for in this immensely difficult thing in my life. So when I say gratitude for everything, can we find a way? Is there? Maybe no. Maybe sometimes you ask, can I be grateful for this too? And the answer comes back, nope, not right now. I can't. And that's fine. Take that answer. It's okay. Don't push it. But maybe there's an opening. Maybe there's an opening. Maybe I can find a way to be grateful for this too. Maybe. Let's sit together for just a second or two. May all of our hearts open to gratitude and open to freedom. Thank you for your kind attention.